and welcome to Reality TV. I am your host, Jody, and this week I am back with the best and best of the worst shows that are on Reality TV this week. So in this week's episode, I'm going to be breaking down 90 Day Fiancé, Sister Wives, and Married at First Sight. That means over on Patreon this week, I'm going to be talking about Love After Lockup and a new show that is on Netflix. My co-host from Total Request Podcast, Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, we are doing our Patreon crossover that we do every couple weeks, and we are going to talk about The Circle. It is on Netflix. It's about, 10 to 12 episodes. I'm going to tell you right off the bat that the first two episodes are pretty rough to get through. It's cringy, as the mills say. It's very, hashtag virtual hugs, that kind of bullshit. So if you can get through the first two episodes, I promise you the pace kind of picks up and you will power through it. And some of the people that you think you hate, you will actually end up liking. It's very bingeable. Dave even watched it with me, and this is absolutely not his kind of show, but we couldn't stop watching it. So Patreon this week is Love After Lockup and The Circle. That means 60 days in, I'm going to throw it in as a doubleheader next week. I actually have not even watched the latest episode. So yeah, it'll be fresh on my mind and we'll get even more fresh meat next week with 60 days in. Okay, now I want to also talk about a show that I'm binging on Netflix, and I'm holding out the last two episodes because it's so good. The one and only Cheer. This show is so good. I can't even tell you how many dozens of you reached out to me and asked me, are you watching Cheer? I didn't want to watch it at all because I assumed it was a Dance Mom kind of thing, or like a real life Bring It On with all these little cheerleady girls. It is not at all. There are a couple boys on this, young men, that I want to, steal from their families and adopt myself. It's very good. So please watch it. It's just called Cheer. You'll see it all over Netflix. It's really, really good. Hopefully I can get Amanda to talk about it on Patreon, in a couple weeks. I'm holding out the last two episodes because, so help me, if Jerry doesn't make it to Matt, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. No one spoil it for me. Do not give me any spoilers. Once I complete it, I will go and start searching shit on the internet. I don't want to know if something bad happens to Ladarius or Jerry, especially Jerry. There is just a place in my heart that Jerry has always lived, but I didn't know it. And I need him in my life. I need to hug him. I need to go to a Wabansi Valley game where maybe he can cheer his alma mater, also Dave's alma mater. And it's like, a couple miles from my house. I mean, it's Wabansi Valley. Everyone, Naperville, Aurora, Wabansi. And that's where Jerry went. Can you freaking believe it? Okay, now what else has happened this past week? Oh, of course, the horrible tragedy with Kobe Bryant and his daughter and the other parents and kids on the helicopter. I mean, what's there to say? It's just a horrible thing, and life and death just really makes no sense. I'm not going to go into it because, listen, we're here to laugh and snark. So I'm going to, head south, I think, from Los Angeles to Orange County. You know, geography is not my strong suit. Let's talk about what went down in the Housewives world. I'm talking about Vicky and Tamra permanently leaving the Real Housewives of Orange County. I think I may be one of the happiest people on earth that Tamra is not coming back. She can suck a big old dusty one because she is a terrible human being. I don't feel sorry for her at all, this whole thing with her daughter, because it's very simple just to not talk about her on the show. But Tamra's a narcissist, so of course she's going to do whatever the hell she needs to do to stay on the show. And look, surprise, surprise, no one wants to watch her because all she does is move houses and talk about having sex with Eddie and her stupid cut fitness gym and fucking Ryan. I think next to Lori's son, who is a murderer, Ryan is probably the worst housewife's child. I know it's a tough race between Shane Keough and Ryan, but I think overall Ryan is a worse human being. Shane, he has the potential to be nice when he's not threatening to beat his mom with a bat, but Ryan, I don't even think he would have warned Tamra. I think he just would have started swinging that minor league baseball bat right at her head. Now, why did Tamra leave exactly? Because she said it was on her terms. Well, from what I've heard from my source on the West Coast, I'll talk about that later at the end of the show, but a very special surprise for you. She had heard that Tamra was originally making about $900,000 per season. But this season, they were only offering her something like 15 or 30 grand, and they only wanted her on 3 episodes, not even as a friend of, but just 3 separate episodes. Carrie from Sip and Shine podcast, you know, my good friend Carrie, she has got all the intel. I think she looked it up on Daily Mail. Go and ask her about it because she's definitely another one of my sources. Now let's talk about Vicky. This is the one I'm really torn on, you guys, because I'm one of the few people that enjoys watching Vicky. Do I think she's a good person? Of course not. But there's something about Vicky that makes for good TV. She has an ever-changing face. You never know what she's going to look like season to season. Remember that one season where she just had a hair mask because her face hadn't healed from her facelift? Look at this. I'm laughing. I'm chuckling. It was a joy to watch. But now, no, Vicky, come on. Maybe even a friend of, pop in every once in a while. I don't need a whole storyline about her remodel and her and Steve getting married. No, 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 of course not. But I need to know what is going on with Brianna, not with her horrible husband. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Maybe I don't want to know about Brianna, but I can't quit Vicky. I can't go cold Vicky, cold turkey. Cannot do it. Cold bloody piggy. It's impossible. I don't know how to quit her. Oh, speaking of quit, I should have asked some of you if you wanted to do this with me, but my friend Jess, host of Blonde Unfiltered, she asked me to do this cleanse with her this week. And I mean, I know I'm only about 5 hours in, but so far, so good. And I have not seen a cleanse like this before. This is not an ad or anything like this. I'll be totally honest with you. It's so easy. It's like, why have I not been doing this before? You get snacks, meals, you can have coffee in the morning with milk, lattes. Oh, okay, so I'll let you know how it goes next week. Maybe I'll do it for 2 weeks. I don't even know if that's possible. All right, Jess, I'm going to have plenty of questions for you, and I'm going to be honest with you if I can make it through this week or not. And if I do, I'm going to, you know what I'll do? I will be like Tamra at Cut Fitness. I'm going to recruit people to do the cleanse with me again next week if it's another cycle. All right, now I have some very important breaking news. Ding, 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 blue light special on Patreon. Oh, yes. Don't start fast forwarding yet because I'm going to tell you a really good deal that I have going on. I just added 2 new tiers over on Patreon, and until, oh, let's say February 15th, that's about, what, 2-3 weeks, I'm going to add a very special offer. I have $1 levels. You know, you get all these early ad-free episodes. The $5 level, I send you some stickers, you get an invite to the Facebook group, early ad-free episodes, bonus episodes. At the $10 level, I send you stickers, a keychain, and all the other stuff, Facebook group, bonus episodes, early ad-free episodes. And I added 2 new levels. And for the next 2-3 weeks, if you sign up at the $15 level, you will receive a Stay Salty mug that's super cute. It's like the little salt shaker girl. It's really cute. Go check it out. After February the 15th, it's going to go up to $20. Now, I have one super premium, amazing $25 sponsor, and that is the one, the only, Alice. Now, I actually know who Alice is. Not really. Like, I've never met her. But if you have ever gone on GOMI blog, G-O-M-I, get off my internet's blog, it's the site I've been talking about for years. It's where people come together to talk about all the annoying people on the internet that are just fucking driving you crazy. Go and check it out. She is the head bitch of GOMI blog. I also want to thank Linda, Kim P, Kim K. I wonder if it is the one and only. Tell Kanye I said hi. Kaylee, Andrea, Rachel, I love you guys. Welcome to the Baddest Apples. Now, in going with my theme of patronizing podcasters, I wanted to give you guys a whole bunch of amazing podcasts that I've been binging and that I've been subscribing to forever. And I'm going to put them all in the show notes because I cannot tell you how many times people have posted in the Facebook group, or I've seen people I follow on Twitter, that people are asking for podcasts. It's almost like when there's a downtime on reality TV or even network series where you just can't find something to watch or listen to and you're looking for something new. That's kind of what's going on with podcasts right now. So I'm going to throw a bunch at you. Hopefully you hear some that you love and that you'll subscribe to. And this is not an ad or anything like that. These are ones I truly can't get enough of. Of course, Date with Dateline. Who doesn't love Kimberly and Katie? Moms in Murder, Melissa and Mandy are the best. And they're coming to Chicago in March, at the end of March at City Winery in Chicago. I'm absolutely going to be there. So you guys, come on, let's go and fan out with Melissa and Mandy. I love Dumb Gay Politics. If you were a fan of Bravo's The People's Couch, the hosts of this show are Julie and Brandy. Remember them? They're hilarious. You got to go listen to it. It's just really funny. I think their banter with each other, there's nothing like it. I just started a new podcast. I don't know if it's a popular one, or maybe I'm late to the game, but it's called Mile Marker 181. It's a little different. The first episode or two, you kind of have to get used to the host's cadence and kind of how she speaks. But I'm absolutely hooked right now. And there's two seasons. I'm still listening to season one, and it's just really, it's heartbreaking, but it's very good. Of course, the Catch and Kill podcast, that's Ronan Farrow's podcast, documenting all of the sexual assaults. Well, not all of them, but many of the sexual assault allegations against Harvey Weinstein, which, let's face it, they're not allegations. It happened, and that fucking asshole. Have you seen him with his walker going into the courtroom? Ugh, we're not buying it. It's like the Bill Cosby. Oh, actually, you know what? I didn't even write this in my notes, but okay, so yeah, Catch and Kill. There's another podcast that is called Chasing Cosby. I haven't started it yet, but I've subscribed to it. I need to catch up on that once I get through all my other ones. So it looks pretty good. I haven't actually listened to it. I also love Monster, DC Sniper. If you lived in the area, I'm sure it is still very clear on your mind. Listen to it. It is really good reporting. I always love my girls, Shishi from Say What Shishi podcast. And at the end of the show, you guys, I'm really excited. I'm going to tell you about a new podcast that I'm going to be starting with some amazing ladies, but I'm going to make you wait for it, wait for it. Yes, I had to throw some Hamilton in there. Okay, let's just get right into it. Let's start with Married at First Sight. PSA, men, please wear undershirts. I cannot tell you how disappointed I am to find that men do not wear undershirts under their dress shirts, their tuxedos. Why? Why would you not wear an undershirt? Maybe if it's like a beach wedding or something like that, and it's very hot outside and you kind of have the, you know, a couple buttons unbuttoned and the sleeves rolled up kind of a thing. But there's just something about a guy unbuttoning his dress shirt and it's just bare chest. Ugh. Of course, I'm talking about Austin's bare chest, which we'll get to in a moment. But I want to talk about Mika and Michael first. I don't know if it's just me. And of course, you know, there's some seeds of doubt later in the episode. But Michael cracks me up. I really like him. I mean, when Mika asked him to unzip her dress and he kind of put his hand up like, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get in trouble. I was dying. I thought it was really funny. He is great in my eyes. I think Mika's kind of a buzzkill, but I'm fully into Michael. I was all about him getting up early in the morning, ordering breakfast. Not quite sure what he would use evaporated milk for, but I mean, order some extra bacon, put it on the Lifetime tab. Mike is living it up like I would. Mika, on the flip side, and on the flip side of the bed, she is all put out because Michael didn't wait to order breakfast, and she's a picky eater. I could tell by that fork drop that Michael was already losing hope with this chick because it seems like she's got something to say about everything. And that's coming from someone who has something to say about everything. Now let's fast forward to Mika meeting Michael's family. I felt like she was very confident. She appeared to be someone who does not hold back her feelings or who she is, even if it's meeting someone for the first time. And I really thought her statement of, "I like to push people," was very alarming to me. She said, "I push people, but it's to make people better." Oh, well, that's nice to know that you think your opinion of how people should or shouldn't do things is because it's what's best for them. You know me better than I know me. Okay, Mika, I just don't like that all-knowing personality kind of stuff. Oh my God, I am getting so many robocalls. Is anyone else getting these 800 calls nonstop all day? And they say they have very important information about your credit. It's obviously a scam. I checked with my bank. You know what? Maybe it's Mika. Mika is calling me to tell me that she needs to push me on something. She knows something's going on and I should listen to her. I know. I'm just bitch eating crackers with her at this point. Let's go over with Michael, and he's with Mika's family. So Mika immediately gets grilled on whether he's cheated or not. And he says he hasn't actually physically cheated, but he's emotionally cheated, which led to situations that should not have happened. So it's kind of an iffy yes. I will give him credit for being honest, but, you know, minus 10 points for emotional cheating. Her family said they'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he was honest, blah, blah, blah. So we leave them, and I had high doubts. We'll get back to that later when we get to all of the couples going on their honeymoon. Let's talk about Mindy and Zach for a moment. Zach is not only a douche, but he's kind of a creepy douche. Like, I would love to know if any of you have had someone come into the bathroom while you're washing your face, brushing your teeth, and lean backward onto the countertop and stare at you in that close talker kind of manner. I think the closest anyone has ever gotten to me in a bathroom in that kind of a way is, you know, after you give birth. God bless you, labor and delivery and whatever you call it, postnatal nurses. That level of closeness in a bathroom, leaning next to me when I brush my teeth or, you know, between my legs after I give birth, that's matched, you know, only to my bestest friends who I've never seen again. It was a one and only thing, drunk girls in a bathroom. Ladies, you know what I mean. But Zach has got this schmoozy wannabe Zen master influencer with the stupid prayer beads or hope beads on his hands. And he's staring into Mindy's eyes, giving her zero personal space because he thinks it's sexy. No, it's fucking creepy. But Mindy is smitten. How she does not see Zach's really hesitance to even get near her is beyond me. Because she seems pretty self-conscious or pretty observant at the very least. And when he asked to kiss her laying in the bed, I actually took a photo of it and posted it. His body language said so much more than his, "Can I kiss you?" bullshit. His body language was just meh. Like, she was the one who scooted into him. She was the one who grabbed his face. And if you look at his hands, he's just keeping himself propped up kind of on the bed. Hands didn't move an inch. Just propped up like he's, you know, watching TV. No signs of physical wanting to be closer. Well, here we go. So let's fast forward to the next morning. And Zach has wrapped himself in a fucking towel to go answer the door for room service. So let's break this down here like I like to do. Does that mean Zach slept naked? Because he said they did not have sex, and I remember him strutting around the hotel room in his stupid underwear, boxer briefs the night before. So I'm just going to follow my gut instinct, which is right, 42, 99% of the time, and say Zach wrapped himself in that towel because he absolutely practiced that shit at home, and he thinks he looks sexy. It was so obvious that he's playing for sexy camera time, man, because he starts pouring coffee. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. He's pouring the coffee for Mindy and he says, "Is it okay that I'm standing here in a towel pouring you coffee?" Blech. Go move to LA already and audition, you thirsty motherfucker. This guy cares more about ironing his pants so he looks good on camera than spending 5 more minutes with his new wife over a cup of coffee. Oh, and don't forget that weird little feathery peck kiss thing by her ear that he was doing. Oh no. It would be like a fly buzzing around my ear. Just swat it. Get away, you freaking weirdo. Ugh. I know. You think I'm really mean and I haven't really had a reason to judge this guy, but I'm going in on him because I care about Mindy. She seems like a good person and this guy doesn't. Which is why I was screaming at the TV, literally screaming. I had to stop myself and go and close the door because I didn't want to wake up my kids. Mindy goes and has breakfast with his family, and they start saying that he wants to be a vulnerable person. He's always trying to be so stoic. So they think Mindy should let her guard down so that Zach will let his down. No, no. Why are you giving her this advice? That is the worst advice for her. When Mindy said that she's ready to be the first one to be vulnerable, I wanted to jump in the TV and handcuff her, go no further, because, oh God, it's just going to be a disaster. And of course, it does end up being that way. But over at Mindy and her sister's table with Zach, they were very nice to him, but they also had their BS radar on, just like I was hoping that they would. The friend had the same read on Zach as most of us did. His answers were not sincere. They were very cut and dry. He didn't even want to look them in the eye. Like, just compare Zach's tone of voice and just the way he was sitting, his mood, to, let's say, a Derek or a Brandon or an Austin. Of course, he's there to further his own agenda, as her friend had insinuated and questioned. All you need to do to confirm that is that fucking hat that he puts on, that hipster Instagram stupid hat that every chick wears when she thinks she's really progressive and she's a vegan, manuka honey drinking Coachella kind of girl. It drives me nuts. Okay, I don't even know why I'm jumping to the honeymoon hat because we still gotta get through other couples. Really, I could have an entire episode just talking about fucking Zach and how much I hate him. More on that later. All right, Jessica and Austin, talk about a complete 180 of Mindy and Zach. The level of awkwardness between these two, it makes me physically almost queasy thinking about it. Like, I thought I had no game back in the day, but Jesus God, Leah, Jessica's giggling and making these really bad jokes about every single comment, and they're not even jokes. They're more just comments on things that are laying around. Like when they get to their hotel room, Jessica starts giggling about sitting down on the couch and it made a weird noise. And then she starts laughing about how Austin might have a button gig on the side. And then she awkwardly hugs him after he unzips the dress. Oh, I just want to give her a nebulizer treatment and tell her, take some deep breaths, calm the fuck down. It's almost like she's the third friend we haven't met on Pen 15 yet. Like, Maya and Anna used to have a friend like Jessica, but she was even too embarrassing, even for them. Whew. All right, so let's fast forward to the next morning. And Austin tells us they didn't have sex. I know, we're all shocked. And then Jessica starts laughing about napkins. So Austin takes off to talk to Jessica's sister and her brother-in-law, which went well. I mean, nothing too noteworthy. Meanwhile, Jessica meets with Austin's parents and his grandma. Grandma is a giggle monster, just like Jessica, so she accepted Jessica right away. Austin's mom, however, she's a tough cookie. She's way more quiet, very intentional with her words, way more intense than the rest of the family. But in the end, it went well, so... You guys, I can't with Jessica. I'm sure she's a nice person, but I could only take her in very small doses. All right, Katie and Derek. Oh, God damn it, you guys. I'm really liking these two. I think Katie is just making Derek cuter than I thought he was. They're so attracted to each other, and they talk about making out, and it, like, gives me all the butterflies. They said they didn't have sex yet. I kind of believe it, but, you know, depends what your definition of is. So let's go to breakfast with the in-laws. Things, of course, go well for both of them. Derek's dad tells Katie that he's got to help Derek open up, lays it all out there that he's a good guy. He just needs someone to basically fall in love with him and keep him happy. Big surprise. Now, Katie's family is a little bit more concerned about Katie's heart getting broken than, you know, her personality quirks, that kind of a thing. And then in a very sincere and not too surprising move, Derek asks Katie's dad to go outside and he asks his permission to marry Katie. Sure, it doesn't totally make sense because they're legally married, but as the old cliche says, it's the thought that counts. Taylor and Brandon. Well, Brandon has gotten his bride a little present. A little blue box is always a hit. But in this case, it was a miss for me. Only because I'm not a huge fan of hearts, especially with curly, swirly writing all over it. But it was very thoughtful, and I think she loves it. It was very sweet. Saying congratulations after you give it to Taylor, that was an interesting choice, Brandon. Congratulations for marrying me. You guys seeing what I'm saying with Brandon? Maybe a little phony, maybe like he should be more nervous than he is or too calm. Something about him, my red flags are going up. The morning after, Brandon, he's still slow talking. He's leaving the extra long pauses between answering questions and then saying, so how about you? Like, does he ever, I don't know, have a pep in his step or have an initial question to ask instead of answering and then repeating the question right back to you? Like, I'm not seeing all of this "that boy can talk" stuff that Taylor is talking about. I mean, his mom and his aunt were actually the same way. It was very quiet, awkward. The emotions are all kind of turned down to a two. Taylor's family, on the other hand, they are really on top of their shit. I loved these women. I think they were actually seeing through Brandon's lack of words, emotions, and even rolling in there with the, just woke up, so I don't really know how I'm feeling. Not a great start, but he pulled it out and they said they approved, but we'll see how the season shakes out. I don't want to give you any spoilers, but if you want them, go and look at MaffsFan on Instagram and Twitter. All right, let's get to the honeymoon. They're all going to Panama. They have a fun little travel montage and surprise. They're all at the same resort at the same time. I'm liking the five couples all together. Like I said previously in other seasons when it was just the three couples, it was hit or miss with these crossover times. But let's talk about this because there is a massive record scratch. Michael and Mika are not getting along and everyone can see it and feel it. They get on this elevator and Mika is 15 feet ahead of Michael. They're not looking at each other. Michael's got his headphones on. And then when they show the two of them get to their room, wow. Here's what went down according to Mika. She said that they were on the plane and Michael turned to her and said, if they don't have sex on this honeymoon, then he's divorcing her. He's out. It's not even worth it. Well, Mika was taken off guard because who wouldn't be? Who's going to hear something like that, that you're expected to have sex with someone you just met and not have some sort of reaction? But Michael disagrees. That's how it went down. Mika's already saying he acts differently in front of the cameras than he does when they're alone. And here's my take on this. I think everyone's going to be on their best behavior when you're new to having all these cameras and a sound guy and a producer, the whole thing around you. You're going to be on your best behavior. If this was an instance of, what was our season with the teacher chick and the basketball guy? Forgetting it already, but you know what I'm talking about. That was different because they were together for almost the whole 6 weeks, right? This has been 2-3 days. So Mika, I don't know if you can totally say he's black and white different when cameras are on and off. But this fight keeps going on and on and on, and Mika's not giving Michael the chance to respond. So finally, he just gives up, tells her to stay in the room. He goes off on his own and peaces out till the next morning. Needless to say, I don't think that these two are going to hit it off this season. Meanwhile, Katie and Derek are shaboom, shaboom, la 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 la, shaboom, shaboom. We brush our teeth together. I mean, these two could not be any happier, as is the crew member who probably is now back on the crew because this brushing teeth together scenes are all over the place again. Cut over to Jessica, who is now sucking helium balloons. I swear to God, she's giggling at a frequency only dogs could hear. There's huge bugs in the room. There's a lizard that's now living with them. She really is crazy because I certainly would not be laughing. I would be demanding a room change and not sleeping in there. And absolutely, I'm not going to be sleeping in there in the same shirt I wore on the plane to Panama. Both Jessica and Austin, by the way, climbed into their bed with the husband-wifey travel shirts on. I don't care if it was just until cameras left either. Cross-contamination, floor, clothing, it's all lava. You never, ever get into your sheets with your play clothes on. Get into your jammies, and then you get into your bed. Now, Brandon and Taylor, they're really hitting it off. I'll admit, I did not see this coming. Very unexpected to me, but maybe, you know, Brandon's personality is starting to sparkle a bit for Taylor. Maybe he's talking on the plane just like Michael was, and we just didn't see it. Now, last but not least, just when you thought the episode was wrapping up, there can't be anything more in the last 5 minutes. Oh, there was. Mindy is not feeling the love anymore. She sees the other couples showing signs of affection. Probably the guys are, you know, lifting their bags or pulling them for their wives. But Zach has absolutely cooled his jets for Mindy. So Mindy wants to talk to him about it. But before she can, I thought I heard Zach say, okay, but can you not talk to me when I'm washing my face? Pretty sure that's what he said. Like, he needs to focus on himself. Maybe he needs a Zen moment with his little prayer bead bracelet while he washes his face. You know, just his way of responding to her, not even in that moment, but if you watch the entire episode, because I went back and actually watched their wedding night and that morning of, he's very dismissive of her. When he's talking to her, he's walking around, he doesn't look at her in the eye. And then when she says she's too tired to shower, all shit hit the fan. He looks at her and he says, and I put on the closed captioning to make sure that I got this quote right. He says, you can't do that. You're going to go on camera and they're going to say, who's that oily ass girl? Mindy took it in stride. How? I have no idea. Maybe she didn't hear him fully. But you know what? She was very open and honest about it. And you guys know I'm a total germaphobe. Yes, I would have preferred to shower, but she was saying, you know what? In this case, we've been flying all day. And granted, they've been up for basically two nights in a row. You don't have to cuddle me. I will always choose sleep over a shower. And it's not as if she was disgusting. She didn't have, you know, a pitted out t-shirt. She's not coming back from the bar that she's been at all day and night. She took in stride and said, you don't have to cuddle me. And then she kind of teased, was like, okay, but you do. To which Zach says, I'm not cuddling oil, and turns and walks away, which I thought was awfully bold for a guy that wiped his fucking wet mouth on his dirty t-shirt that he was wearing. Listen, like I said, I personally would want to shower, but none of the other couples did either. So I don't think that Mindy was way grosser than anyone else. Now, then they come back from commercial and we get Mindy just walking around at night in the middle of the night by herself. And she says that Zach told her that he was not building an attraction towards her. So what's she gonna do about it? She responded like any normal person would and said, well, I guess it's not going to work out because, you know, I can't change my face or change my personality for you. And then he responded with, well, I didn't expect that response. I think that's what happened. Or maybe I have it flip-flopped. It doesn't even matter because fuck you, dude. You know, he waited until all the cameras left to say, I'm not attracted to you because he didn't want to ruin his sparkling on-camera personality. I fucking hate him. And I really hope they have his family on later in the season and they learn what a dick he was, because I would love to see his mom and all of his family members who I think already dislike him just rip him a new one. Okay, deep breath. I'm not even kidding, you guys. I think I have a chest pain right now. Maybe I need that nebulizer that I was going to give to Jessica. Okay, after a very quick break and a word from my sponsor, Ritual, this week, I'll be back with 90 Day Fiancé and Sister Wives. You guys know me, and you know I'd rather have a vanilla glazed Long John donut than a kale and beet smoothie. I do the best I can and I work out, but it is really hard. Even the best food trackers and whole food shoppers are probably like me, struggling to get all the essential nutrients I need in my body on a daily basis. So here's where I started researching Ritual. Ritual is the obsessively researched vitamin for women, and I wouldn't know anything about being obsessed with anything. So weird. Really though, Ritual is all over their product and they have thought of everything. I will be honest, I take all of my prescriptions and vitamins in the morning because I have them right next to my Keurig machine so I don't forget. I also still do my intermittent fasting, and what is awesome about Ritual is that you can take it on an empty stomach. I have never been able to do that before without getting a nasty aftertaste, you know, that fishy taste in your mouth. It's the worst. Also, if you work out on an empty stomach like I do, you don't get that gross aftertaste. I'm not going to make you sick even thinking about it. But Ritual doesn't use fish oil, so I've never had this happen. I used to have to split up all my vitamins. I would have to take my omega-3s at night because of that stomach issue. But now I just pop it in the morning. I don't even have to think about it. And there's this little peppermint tab in the bottle. It just keeps everything staying naturally fresh. And the capsule is super cool looking. I'll post a picture of it. It's almost futuristic or something. It makes me feel like I'm a hip millennial until, you know, I look around and remember that I was around when scrunchies were cool before you were a Visco girl. So here's what you need to do to start your subscription today. It's only $1 a day and you can snooze your subscription at any time. No strings attached. Better health doesn't happen overnight. And right now, Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. Fill in those gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/realityv to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/realityv. All right, 90 Day Fiancé, let's do this. I just had my first snack of the day. Unflavored Greek yogurt was not as bad as I thought it was going to be because I put a little drop of the very hipster Manuka honey. Not so bad, you guys. I'm feeling pretty darn good. Not good enough to talk about Angela and Michael because she is a horrible human being, but I will talk about Anna, who is towing the line of being a horrible human being as well. Now, we had a break from our beekeepers last week, but they are back, and Anna called producers and said Marcel called her and said he wanted to come back to the States to be with her. And because Anna cannot stand to be away from a man who chose his mom over her and wishes her kids didn't exist and hates how she keeps her hives, she's taking him back. So beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Marcel, visa, ticket, billet, bye. I mean, it is hot up in here. I can feel the love. And by the way, just in case you wanted to know if I was fluent in Turkish, no, I just use my Google Translate to make sure ticket in Turkish is bilet. Whew, a master's degree really paid off right here. All right, now let's get back to Anna, because those of you in the greater Omaha area, help us apples out. Is the dating scene that bad? Surely there's got to be someone who is not like the maturity of a second grader. Someone, maybe an old farmer with a heart of gold that needs someone to put some hives in his trees to help the pollination of whatever grows in Nebraska. Maybe there's some sort of international program that Turkey is making an agreement with the U.S. because Turkey seemed all too anxious to like kick Marcel out of the country. They practically came knocking at his door, throwing visas at him. They don't want him in their country. And America seems like we really need him here. Maybe we're in shortage of hive experts. I don't know what the hell's going on. And I don't know what's with this change of heart with his family. Like, maybe he got there and after all of this arguing and him sobbing and crying, maybe they're seeing Marcel actually was marrying up. Although, I don't really want to give Anna too much credit because she chose him. She chose to play this game with him and not think it through. And now it's her kids who are paying the price. And when she told her kids that he was coming back and that the day that he got back, which is in 2 days, they would have to get married immediately, I thought that oldest son was just going to maybe go to the courthouse with her, file emancipation papers. Who the hell knows? Because he was pissed and more so probably hurt. But, you know, anger comes from a place of hurt, you guys. But the younger two, of course, are more accepting because they're more resilient and they don't fully understand the permanency of getting married and him moving here. Just imagine being 16 years old, like the oldest son, and you got some older guy who's now peeing on your toilet seat. He's wearing a man purse all the time, and now you're going to have to start calling him daddy. Come on, Anna. Do better. Do better for yourself, but more importantly, do better for your kids. My heart seriously breaks for them. You know, snip, snap, snip, snap. Do you have any idea the toll that three broken engagements have on your children? All right, I could have planned that better, but it just came to me in a moment. That's what she said. All right, Michael and Juliana, you guys, after all said and done, I think I want to marry Juliana. I mean, sure, she might have been a yacht girl, but she cleans up nice. She's got a good work ethic. The kids like her. And I don't think I'm exaggerating. I actually stopped and tried to think of a more gorgeous bride than I've seen. I think Juliana's the most gorgeous bride ever. Flawless. I loved the slightly asymmetrical hair, that deep V-neck, the bouquet. What was that flower that was on the right side? Someone let me know. Obviously, I know the roses and that other stuff, but there is some sort of big, I don't know what they're called, like hermunculus or something. I don't know, but it was beautiful. And then later, as she had her hair down, like I want her body or to wear her skin or to come back as her in my next lifetime. I think I deserve it. In one of my future lifetimes, I need to have Juliana's body. I know that sounds weird, but you know, it is what it is. I am who I am. I'll settle for having Sarah as a best friend, though. I love her. She is awesome. I mean, to officiate a wedding with zero makeup, air-dried hair, she is killing the give-no-fucks game. And of course, she's supportive and all that good stuff. I just love this little trio. Nothing can stop them now. I mean, except Michael's ego, of course. But you got Max in there. You have little what's-her-buns. Cece. They're going to keep Juliana and Sarah in the know what's going on. Michael's got lots of sets of eyes and ears on him, so I am not worried about this pentagon of real estate invested wealth that hopefully they don't fight about not having a prenup about. What am I saying? Let's just talk about Jasmine and Blake because, yeah, that's a happy little family over there. Now, Jasmine is coming back to ask Blake how his night was because remember they got in that big old fight last week. And she eventually apologizes in this interview, which was so weird. She can't even stand to touch him. Like when she said she's sorry, she put her hand, like facing palm to herself, and tapped him on the shoulder. Like she was throwing salt over her own shoulder. Which begs the question, do you think they've had sex? I just can't see it happening. I can't see Jasmine wanting to get dirty or having another human touch her at any point in time. She probably sleeps in some sort of sensory deprivation tube, maybe just a mummy sleeping bag. She definitely doesn't want any humans around her at any time unless it's her robot sister. Now, my questions just quadrupled when Jasmine's parents enter the scene. They're there to visit and they're going to meet Blake's mom. And they seem like lovely people, seemingly normal, which begs the question, how the hell do you produce two robot daughters? It's just bizarre. But Jasmine and Blake inform us that they're having a small wedding at a park where Blake grew up. And Blake's all excited because he has great memories there. Yay. Can't wait to see your trick on the monkey bars, you weirdo. And Jasmine likes it because she likes small weddings, otherwise known as in private, so no one can see me marrying Blake. Now, Blake's mom takes the very first opportunity she can to bring up Jasmine working, working, going to school, anything. And Jasmine pipes up that, and I quote, this is very important, she isn't into working like that. I'm not going to work. I told you that. Maybe every now and then, but I don't want to go to like a 9-to-5. I just want to focus on like my inner peace and just have like a good mind. I'm not work oriented. Okay, let's break this down here. First of all, why weren't her parents questioning Jasmine about this? I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, or maybe my ignorance. Perhaps this is a cultural thing, maybe. But I just can't see these two people that seem like they have a really good living for themselves. Why is it okay that their adult daughter is sitting on her ass all day, focusing on her inner peace, and she's in her mother-in-law's apartment while she's doing this? I just don't understand why they wouldn't be pushing her themselves. It makes no sense to me. Maybe this is a cultural thing, like I said, and they talk about it in private, not on national TV like us asshole Americans. I really hope so, because if either of my kids grew up to say this out loud on TV, think it, I would be rethinking my entire parenting career and what the hell I did wrong. Oh God, this is a perfect place to transition to Tanya and Sinjin. Maybe I should, I don't know, take a shot of something, some CBD. I got rid of my chest pains from Blake and Mindy, and now I gotta talk about Tanya. It's probably gonna come back. All right, let's start with Sinjin first. We'll ease our way into Tanya. Sinjin has this friend named Chiot, which ironically rhymes with what Tanya smells like, a shart. And what made this whole brotherly love scene really sad was that Sinjin's eyes have not smiled and twinkled like this since the moment before he saw that murder shed. And if I were him at this point, after hearing my friend doubt and have facial cringing motions that even my elastic face couldn't do, I would have packed up all my shit from that shed, grabbed a slice of that tiramisu and that bottle of Jack from the pantry, and hit the open road with Chiart. Set Tanya free on her own. Let her go back to her soulmate, crush up their marigolds together, maybe find a cure for her under boob BO because you know she's got it. Sinjin's got way too much life to live before Tanya crushes him into an unstable and insecure shell of a man. Now let's all remove our bras and go wedding dress shopping with Tanya. This bitch, this unique bitch that wants to do everything so different than every other bride. She wants a black like her soul, red like her gums, because you know this bitch doesn't floss, or champagne dress. Champagne, because that's what everyone's going to be drinking when we witness Sinjin sign himself into captivity. Serves this bitch right that the first dress that she tried on looked fucking terrible on her. It probably would have looked fine had she worn a bra or, you know, ask, do you have a corset, something I can wear to lift my fucking boobs up? I don't get what this chick's problem is with bringing everything down, her boobs, Sinjin's spirits, everything. She just sucks the life force out of the universe. For someone that's so into juju, does she not feel her own? Does she not see that everything around her is depressing because of her? Okay, so she puts on this perfectly fine dress. It was fine. And she starts bragging about how she told Sinjin that he wasn't her soulmate. She was proud about it. She was smiling from ear to fucking ear. Thank God her friends called her on that shit and told her that she's mean. That was mean to say that to him. You need to go apologize. Her sister even went in on her. But what does her mom do? Patti LuPone look-alike just sits there. I mean, she probably is to blame because she enabled Tanya's horrible behavior her entire life to get to this point. But maybe her mom's the same way. A narcissist breeds a narcissist. Oh, my heart goes out to her sister. God, can you imagine living with those two in your family? Jesus. All right, let's check in very quickly with Mike because we didn't see too much of him this week. He goes to a lawyer to ask essentially nothing. He doesn't know whether he wants to cancel Natalie's visa or keep boning her from afar. So, I don't know, lawyer. I'll call you later when I decide. Thanks for agreeing to do a segment on TV so I get a discount. See ya. Now, Emily and Sasha. We are in Portland, one day to wed. And Sasha, Emily, Betsy, and baby Dave are driving to a beach house that Emily rented for the wedding. It's very reminiscent of Andre and Libby driving in the car. Sasha's like a maniac, full on Moldova up in that Mercedes. You know, men in control. You no tell me rules of road, bitch. Okay, he didn't say bitch, but you know he was thinking it. You know, if Betsy says he was driving like a maniac, I believe her. So blah, blah, blah. Betsy makes Sasha promise not to cheat on Emily, and he squeezes his ass cheeks so hard together it hurts in order to stifle a laugh. But let's cut the shit, or I'm going to because I'm the monster with a microphone right now. Baby Dave is adorable. He really is. Like, I've never seen chunkier, cuter baby thighs that I just want to sink my teeth into more than those chunky baby ham hocks. Adorable. I just wonder which side of the family his growth comes from. Like, maybe it's just not common in my part of the hemisphere. Like, normally babies are a lot smaller stature than their parents, but it could very well have been a camera angle because they do say the camera adds 10 pounds. But does this mean he's going to be like 7'10"? He just is a big baby, but he's adorable. And I'm not weight shaming you guys. He's just a very chubby baby. I had little babies that never wanted to eat, and it was fucking hell. I would have rathered a huge baby. Just let me know what you think. Okay, so how about that wedding day? I'm going to transition before I get myself into any more trouble. Minus Sasha stripping down to his underwear again. This guy can't show off his Fruit of the Looms enough. It wasn't bad at all. Emily actually looked very pretty. I thought the ceremony was sweet. I was happy for her. If I had to change anything about it, besides the groom, I would say maybe a more neutral lip, like a nude lip, because her eyes are so pretty and she's got the little wingy thing. The red was a little harsh because she has such dainty, beautiful features. But overall, it was very pretty. I thought she looked great. Now, Robert and Annie, holy shit, you guys. I did not see this coming. I thought it was going to be a very boring episode for these two because they start out in this shoe store and Annie's buying shoes and it's, you know, they made up, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Robert did have braids. That was, you know, a big plot twist. But just as I was going to hit the snooze on this boring couple, bam, we have Grandpa coming in hot with the opinions and comments on Annie and Robert's relationship. This encounter at this diner, this scene, this fight, whatever you want to call it, it happened fast and furious, which is probably the name of one of Grandma's films. So Grandpa, this asshole, he was just teeing Grandma up for the swing and a big ol' miss because these two have an agenda. Obviously, they had told production ahead of time what they were going to do because if you looked at Grandpa, he looked straight into the camera a couple different times. So he's saying very derogatory, very presumptuous comments about why Annie was there. And good for her, she stuck up for herself. I was a little nervous that Robert wasn't going to stick up for her, but once he slowly processed what was going on, he jumped in there too. So we have Grandpa just setting up Grandma to go in for the fucking jugular, this bitch and that asshole. The two of them are so maybe closeted, bigoted, or maybe they're out there in the open. It had this ring of superiority, like this is my country. Actually, I even think the grandpa said, I can make you leave the country. And that's when Annie said, okay, go talk to your Donald Trump and make me leave. Let's just see you try. But they didn't even go in once. They went in 2, 3, 4 times. They would not let it go. I thought one of Annie's best arguments back to him was that they should be grateful to her that she is watching their grandchild. And where have they been all this time that she's been there? They're almost getting married, so it has to have been almost 90 days, 3 months. Funny that you care so much about Bryson, but you haven't been around Gigi. Oh, no, I'm not Annie's biggest fan, but I was rooting her on in this circumstance. Those two assholes. Oh, I can't wait for the tell-all because I have a feeling we're going to find out a lot more information about probably Robert's ex, Bryson's mom, and these grandparents. Oh, I hated them. Okay, I'm going to take a very quick break, maybe go grab some more coffee. Oh, shoot, I can't do coffee on my cleanse. I'll grab some cucumber, ginger, and lemon water, and I'll be right back with Sister Wives. It's a jolly holiday with Mary. Just kidding, TLC hates Mary too. And the episode title is A Not-So-Merry Christmas. Now, they could have really shaded Mary and actually spelled it M-E-R-I, but I think they know that we know what they know. So let's get into this episode. It's going to be a lot more math than I'm used to. So hopefully those of you with a calculator nearby, you can check my math once we get to those houses because I most definitely did some deep diving. Now, per usual, we get our little previously on Sister Wives montage where we're reminded of Cody's Barbie dream house and how much he loves the color white. This week, we're picking up with Christmas at Mary's house. They're all being interviewed on the sectional of dying hopes and dreams, and they're fantasizing about Coyote Pass because seeing everyone together at Mary's house on Christmas and cuddling up to each other close because armless couches, and it's giving them the warm fuzzies for the future. Instantly, Cody mentions that his super secret crush Caleb would love Flagstaff because, you know, bro stuff. Guys. So there's this moment where Cody is talking with all the other wives on the couch, and he slips up and says something like, "We're all looking forward to building all the homes on Coyote Pass because everyone will have a place to be and they can always come home to our homes." And Christine, listening, probably the only of the four listening to him, swoops in to save him and says something like, "Ooh, dear, did I just hear you say all the homes? Does this mean you don't want to build the one home you talked about this morning on Christmas?" Wink, wink. Now Cody tries to improv it, play it off like, "No, Christine, I just like to dangle the hope there in front of my wives, you know, like guys do." And they're all realizing that Cody just messed up and obviously gave away the fact that they never agree on one house. All of them, that is, except Robin. Robin starts her whole shtick for this episode about it being Christmas. Stop beating a grump. Oh, man. I don't know what acting class she took, but she needs a refund. Maybe it's from the same singing coach that Christine went to when she sang "Let Me Call You Sweetheart" at McKelty's wedding, but it is some bad acting. Now, let's go back to Christmas. Mary normally makes the pajamas for everyone, but this year she just bought them because, you know, she hates everyone anyway, so why spend time on the family? So they open presents and help Mary clean up, but then Cody starts getting a real big hard-on for these blueprints, and he is screaming for everyone and anyone to hear, "Does anyone give a shit about the blueprints? Anyone want to come and see them?" And that is when we see him. Our hero, really our MVP of this episode, our BFG, Peyton, comes in with a, "Dad, I'd love to see him." Of course you do, buddy. Of course you do, son, if I may be so bold. Shout out once again to our girl Tony for the legendary BFG reference. It is mwah, perfect. Now, Robin gives us a play-by-play of how Christmas works, but I'm going to circle back to Mary's kitchen. I would like to see a blueprint for this kitchen because it was the worst working triangle I have ever seen. If any of you are architects, interior designers, we need to talk. Picture a U-shaped kitchen. There's kind of a peninsula thing on the right side. And then inside, there were two islands. Now, I know the whole two island thing is a popular, well, I don't even know if it's that popular anymore, but we've seen Deandra on Real Housewives of Dallas has them. It's a whole thing. However, these islands, they weren't islands. They were more like islets or what's an atoll? Whatever they were not islands. One of them was a square shape, and that's where the kitchen sink was. Possibly a wet bar. I don't know. But then there was another one, and it was a longer, more narrow island that served as a, yeah, I don't know. Again, a wet bar without the wet. The designer who thought up this kitchen needs to be brought here before the court, commissioned to wrestle Cody in his future man pond. Whoever it is, they must be punished. Now let's go to the moment I never really knew I wanted, but also at the very same time, it makes me want to dry heave over and over again. Cody is saying thank you to all the children for being there, for being born, being in his life, being his offspring. and Hunter, who I love and adore and salute and respect and feel an odd sense of motherly pride for, says, "Thank you for conceiving me, Dad." And Cody says in reply, "Well, that's a memory, believe me." And they all laughed, even the children, the other conceived ones. Now, on one hand, it was kind of funny, especially Hunter's timing, and, you know, he's my boy. But then there's Cody talking about he and Janelle having a memory, and we should believe him. No, there are children right there, your children. And they're all giggling, like, you know, it's something that they talk about all the time, they joke about all the time. And I never would be able to recover from a joke my parents made like that. Maybe that's a healthy way of joking. I don't know. I come from a dysfunctional family. Maybe that's a thing normal families do, not mine. But the way it made me look at the Brown family was what made me maybe like them more or less. I don't know. I'm all kinds of confused about it. It's just that they're not the same modest and wholesome bunch that I thought they were. Not that I ever thought they were the Duggars, but ooh, makes you wonder, how do they talk when we're not around? All right, now, then Maddie and Caleb say that they're pregnant, whatever, clearly. She's basically fully effaced and dilated, and everyone's acting like, oh, we didn't know she was pregnant. Her stomach's out to her knees at this point. The real juicy stuff, or in Mary's case, the real big banana, was when Janelle starts laying down the truth about their Vegas homes. Who would have thought no one wanted to pay top dollar for builder basic homes that were featured on Sister Wives for several years? Crazy how no one wants to take a bath where Maddie's water broke and Caleb swam in it with her. Equally revolting, Mary's wet bar, which she bragged about tongue in cheek. It's like Mary wants to be in on the joke with us, but sorry, read the pin post, Mary. You're not invited. All right, move along. Go try on some leggings. So here's the deal on Cody's sack. Janelle, realtor to the stars of TLC's number 6 show, can't sell the damn houses, so she recommends a $40,000 price drop on all the houses, if not more. Now, there's some annoyance from Christine and Robin about whether they should make this decision together or separately, but whatever. In my zero realtor classes taken, I would say the market drives the price. Like, if it's not selling, you gotta drop it, and clearly they need to. Now, as the family is wrapping up their hemming and hawing, we get this screen that says, as the camera crew is wrapping up, Cody decides to continue the discussion with Mary alone. Why Mary? Oh my gosh, they're going to talk about their marriage. Maybe they each take the proceeds and go different ways. Are we going to start talking about the bed and breakfast at Parowan? Oh my God. Just kidding. Why does Cody want to talk to her? And I quote, because she's a captive audience. Ouch. I mean, that one hurt even me. Wow. Okay, now let's talk about these houses. If you don't want to know what happens with the houses, God bless you, but I was freaking curious. So I went deep diving. First, we need to know that all the wives bought their homes for around $443,000, in between $443,000 and $447,000. Guess whose house was the most expensive? Mary's. $2,000 upgrade for the wet bar, apparently. They all listed originally around $670,000. So $670,000 to $440,000. Do your own math there. In the end, Janelle sold her home first back in 2019. She sold it for $575,000. Don't worry, I did the math for you guys. She ended up making $132,000 of her own or towards the pot for Coyote Pass. That's the whole disagreement between Christine and Robin or how they're all looking at it. All right, so she made $132,000. The next to sell was Mary, I believe. She sold hers for $574,900. Oh, $100 below Janelle. And I fucking love it because you know Janelle did too. So she made $128,000. Janelle, $132,000, still the most. Robin ended up selling her house for the most at $603,000. 603K, guys, which means she took a profit of $158,000 for the win. Now, I'm going to circle back around that in just a moment before I break all of your hearts and tell you what happened with Christine's. Now, remember, she originally listed, just like everyone else, at $675,000. It ended up selling last at $535,000, which means she made a profit of $92,000. Now, don't get me wrong. I would have loved to make that kind of profit when I sold my last house. We actually lost our ass on it. But all said and done, they did not make this huge whopping profit, probably half of what Cody expected. Now, let's go back to Robin's house. Why would her house sell for so much more when she was, third in line, the third least expensive? Well, if you look at the photos of her house, the backyard was built up in such a way that no other house in that subdivision could compete. This is from the listing. It says, the grounds provide entertainment for kids and adults alike with a play area, an in-ground trampoline, planter boxes, a fire pit, and covered patios. And it also had major square footage of paver patio. So I wonder, out of that $158,000, they probably spent, I'm guessing, $20,000 to $30,000 in that paver patio. So really, what's the true profit? Overall, if you add up all their profits, it's $520,000. That's not taking out Janelle's share of her realtor commission like she was talking about. And if we're talking about building four homes plus a clubhouse, that's my theory. There's going to be like a little apartment clubhouse sort of thing. $520,000 is not going to get you too far, I don't think. But I know shit about building custom homes. Okay, special announcement, drum roll. Starting very soon, two of my great friends, Carrie from Sip and Shine, she was also my co-host on Moms on the Rocks, Jess from Blonde Unfiltered, the three of us are teaming up and we are going to be bringing you a new weekly podcast called Bold Lip Happy Hour. We are covering coast to coast, literally from Washington, D.C., Midwest, all the way to Beverly Hills. We're going to be bringing you celebrity gossip, true crime, everything cover to cover from people. We like a bold lip. I bring the wide hips, I suppose. And Carrie always has something yummy to sip. So go ahead. You can already subscribe. We have a little teaser episode. Just search Bold Lip Happy Hour and you will find us. Now, this week on Patreon, remember, you can sign up at the $1, $5, $10, and for a limited time, $15 level. $15 level gets you a mug, $25 level gets you a shirt, and if you lock in at that $15 level right now, I'm going to lock you into it for, is it perpetuity? Am I using that correctly? It'll never go back up to that $20 level. And for all of you from $1 and up, I love you equally. Thank you so much. You are keeping us alive and staying salty over here. That's patreon.com/realitytvpod. Coming up this week on Total Request Podcast, that's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. You can hear us talking about a show called Freak Show. There were two seasons. We're watching season one, episode one. I've never seen it, so I am very anxious and a little scared. I'm not going to lie. So thank you once again. Make sure you check out Patreon, Total Request Podcast, subscribe to Bold Lip Happy Hour. And until we talk again, stay salty.